We're going to get into the Romans study now. We were talking at the end of the last lesson about how all the references, all the mentions in the Bible about calling on the Lord, confessing the Lord Jesus, who He is, and that you believe who He is, those all have to do with Israel. And when you rightly divide, I like to use the word sort. Not that it's a scriptural word, but it helps to clarify in our minds what rightly dividing is. It's dividing the two different systems that are prevalent between Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then you get into what comes after Acts, Paul's information about the mystery of Christ that was not revealed until the middle of Acts. Somewhere in the middle, not exactly in the middle, okay? But but that's different. When you sort, you try and remove the confusion, and it's not this and that and this and that in both sides. You have all of one on one side and all of the other on the other side. Well, all the places where it mentions the calling on the Lord, confessing the Lord, those all have to do with Israel. Confessing is a work, one of the many works they had to do. They did have to have faith too, but we'll get into that a different time. But to us, on the other side of that sorting, of that line of division there, to rightly divide between what Israel had and what was given by Jesus Christ later on as everybody's way of salvation, dispensing it through Paul to us. To us, Paul preaches that salvation is by grace. By grace. We can't earn it. And not that we didn't earn it, but we're not in a position to be able to earn it. By grace, through faith, not of works. Not of works. Instead of Israel's faith plus works system that they were always taught. For us, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. Paul preaches to us that God's righteousness is only accounted to him that worketh not. Instead of to him that believes and confesses and calls on the name of the Lord. There's a division between the two systems. So, Paul exposes Israel's fall and what offer they failed to accept. That's one of the things he handles there in Romans 9, 10, and 11. And we see in Romans 10, verse 5, "For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them." The law of Moses was a religion of doing works, the man who doeth those things. It was a performance gospel of faith and faith plus works. Or probably more accurately, it would be a gospel of faith plus works derived, faith generated works, we'll put it that way, works that come from the faith that they had. Well, they didn't have the faith, but they kept up with the works. That was their problem. They needed to believe who Jesus really was, and they didn't. That was their shortcoming. So let's go on to the next verse, Romans 10:6. "But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven," that is to bring Christ down from above. Paul was saying not to seek the Messiah in the heaven above. Jesus Christ already came from heaven as the Son of God, their Messiah. Romans 10, verse 7. "Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up again from the dead?" Paul was saying not to seek the Messiah in the depths of the grave. Jesus Christ already resurrected on the third day. Things are different now. It's not like it was before, before Israel fell. Israel's through Israel's former program, you used to access, they used to access God by believing and confessing and calling on the name of the Lord. But as well as by keeping the law, keeping, believing the covenants, keeping the all those other things. So, but in Christ's later program that he revealed only through Paul, later on into Acts, it's by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, the gift, not of works, lest any man should boast. Things are different now, very different. Romans 10:8. But what saith it? What saith what? Well, going back in the verse, what saith the righteousness which is of faith? A verse or two back. That's where he started, and then he said, don't say this. Now he's getting to where he says it. So that thought started it. The righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Verse 8, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee. So in order to understand the statement, we need to find out to whom the singular pronoun refers in that verse. To whom does the singular pronoun thee refer? Again, the verse reads, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee. Paul is addressing them about the missed opportunity that they had in the period before Christ saved Paul and revealed the mystery of Christ to Paul. That was before our salvation was preached or known even. So those Jews and Gentiles were before the mystery of salvation was revealed to Paul for us. They were saved, as we've just shown, they were saved by, they had to keep the law, keep the covenants, believe that Jesus was the Messiah. That's the one big thing they didn't do. But that's not our gospel. That's not the mystery that Christ revealed to Paul. We're not waiting for a kingdom from heaven to come to earth. We're going to heaven. We're waiting for that blessed hope, the catching up of the body of Christ to heaven, as promised in 1 Thessalonians 4. So those Jews and Gentiles were before the mystery of salvation was revealed to Paul. Therefore, to find those Jews and Gentiles, we must look in Romans before Romans 3:21, earlier in Paul's covering of what a person goes through. He starts with they have to get saved to get in the door. Then they learn how, not how, but who they are in Christ, that Christ is in them, that they are to follow the Spirit and have new life and new ability to withstand the darts of the evil one. So, let's read some and see what we find. Romans, starting in Romans chapter 2, verse 5. Excuse me just a moment. Let me get a sip. But after thy hardness, no, this is Paul telling the people, you know, their position that they had gone astray from God. After thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality. That describes a lot of people, doesn't it? To them, eternal life. Well, do you know what continuance is? Patient continuance, a chain continues, you know. If there's one link broken in a chain, it's not continuance. If you have a rope and there's only one cut in the rope, it's only cut in half once, it still is not continuous, is it? To them who by patient continuance in well-doing, in other words, they never stray from well-doing or from well-thinking, they seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Well, that person hasn't been born yet, except for Jesus Christ. But to them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. So he's going through and he's proving the Jews are guilty as the Gentiles are. But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there's no respect of persons with God. Remember, this was in Romans, written in the Acts 20 time period, which is after Paul, Christ's revelation to Paul in Acts 18, that this gospel was for all people. He was in charge of distributing or dispensing the gospel to all people. As many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Perfect adherence was required in the law. Deuteronomy 6:25. Going on in verse 13, Romans 2:13. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. That's why it was out of reach. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves. Now, the Gentiles don't make the laws for God. Okay, that's not what it's saying. They can behave themselves, I think is what it's saying there. But it has nothing to do with justification. We studied these teachings about in this part of the epistle to the Romans, to all that be in Rome, studied it in detail in parts 3 through 6 of this 59-part study of Paul's epistle to all that be in Rome. From these verses, and from when the doctrine in those verses was, in those statements in the verses, when they applied, we can see that those statements, including the pronoun thee that we talked about, they applied to Israel under their covenants. That's on one side of that dividing line, the rightly dividing sorting that we're doing here. They applied to Israel before Christ dispensed the gospel of Christ to Paul and through Paul to us. The context here proves that both Romans 2, verses 5 to 14, and Romans 10, verses 5 to 12, we were looking at a few minutes ago, they apply to the Jews and to God-fearing Gentiles back then that could come to God through Israel's covenants and synagogues before Israel fell in Acts 7. So, it mentions the word Gentiles, but it's not all Gentiles. It's not us, in other words. It was those that sided along with, tagged along with Israel through the wilderness, or later on they said, well, God is working through Israel. I believe in the God. I don't want to be on the other side of him, the wrong side of him. So they came to the synagogues, brought their tithes. That was a blessing to Israel. So, and because of all this, we want to make sure that no one thinks Romans 10, verses 5 to 12, applies to us today, other than to learn about it, or about Israel's opportunities, about God's long-suffering. Those verses, including Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, applied only to Israel before their fall, and in the future, after they finally see that Jesus is their resurrected Messiah, when they see him coming in the air, in the clouds, I should say. So let's return to the text of Romans 10, verses 6 and 8 that we were in. Romans 10, 6, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Verse 8, what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith, which we preach. Well, there's another limiter on what he's talking about there. In Romans 10, verse 5, Paul showed that Moses taught that those who do the law live by the law. If someone wanted life, they had to do the law. Well, that's where they fell short. All the law. All the time. Deuteronomy 6:25. Maybe we should look that up. I referred to that before. I'm going to post it here so we can see that it is relevant. Welcome to the room. And here's the verse. And it shall be our righteousness. Israel said this to Moses to tell to God. It shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. And it goes on to say Moses returned up the mountain to tell the Lord that they had agreed to that contract, that covenant, that if they do everything all the time as in the law, that will be their righteousness. Well, still waiting for the second person to do that. The Lord kept the law, the Lord Jesus Christ. But in contrast to the law of Moses, Paul was telling in Romans 10, verses 6 to 8, all that be in Rome, both Jews and Gentiles, he was telling them not to seek their Messiah in the heaven above. He already came to earth. Not to seek Messiah, Jesus Christ, in the graves of the deep, but to find Christ's righteousness right in their mouth, in their heart, as the word faith that both Peter and Paul preached, and unto which Paul was separated. That's the gospel of God, not a gospel of salvation. He was committed to that was committed to him later, maybe not later, but differently, because he was separated from his mother religion by the gospel of God, by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the risen Son of God. And then he was given the facts that he was saved, and that's how. I delivered unto you that which I also received, he said. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. So things are different now. We're not under Israel's laws. They fell and were separated from God. You used to be able to access God by believing and confessing. Peter preached the gospel of God, testimony that Jesus is the risen Messiah, but Israel largely ignored the word of faith that Peter preached. In Acts 20, let's see, Acts 2, verses 30 to 36, you can read Peter preaching to Israel that Jesus was their risen Messiah, resurrected. And also in Acts 3, verses 13 to 15, and down in verse 26, he says it again. Well, later in Acts, Paul gets saved by the Lord's doing. Paul was separated unto the preaching of the same gospel of God to introduce the Gentiles to Jesus Christ so that they would be acceptable to hear and believe the gospel of Christ about salvation. And we see that in Romans 15, verse 16, which we'll get to later in the studies. But just to read it here, that I, Paul speaking, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified or singled out, set apart by the Holy Ghost. Well, Okay, if they both preach that, it's not the gospel of the kingdom that they both preached, is it? The gospel of the kingdom was not preached by both Peter and Paul. It was preached by Peter. The gospel of Christ was not preached by both Peter and Paul. It was preached by Paul. But the gospel of God was preached by both Peter and Paul. And so the gospel of God is the key. It's the word here, the word that they were to have had faith in, but didn't. And so Paul is explaining that. Let's go through the next verse. Going down, we got to verse 8, Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, thou being the individual Israelites that had the chance, and this is what they should have responded to, having heard it at the time, but they didn't, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. That's what they were to do. It's not available. It wasn't available when Paul was teaching what Israel messed up as, what they didn't do, that they should have. He was telling all that be at Rome, the way is clear now for the new gospel that Christ revealed to Paul. So he goes on and he says, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Well, there's the resurrection that they should have believed, but they didn't believe he rose from the dead. They believed he was a fake. That's what they were to have faith in. Thou shalt be saved. Shalt be, don't forget, only in Paul's gospel, the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the grace of God to us that we receive today, only there do we get immediate salvation. Saved, you are saved, it says, Ephesians 2:5. You don't hear that about Israel. They're not saved immediately. In fact, several places we're told that they're saved when their sins are blotted out and their salvation comes to them in the end time when Christ returns. They're under different conditions than us. Don't expect them to be the same. So here it says, thou shalt be saved. That's like the Lord told, it's John 1:12. 111 and 112, he came to his own received him not. But to all who received, how's that verse going? To them that received him, let me get it exactly right. Yeah. And it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he sonship? No. He gave them power to become the sons of God. That's different than what we have. When, once we're saved, we're sons of God. We're His children. Romans 8:17, I think it is. So there's a difference. I'm trying to show the difference so that it's not confusing. So you can see the things that appear to be conflicts are because they're to different people on different sides of that dividing line that we're sorting down through these scriptures here. Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And you can just see Peter preaching that in Acts 2 and Acts 3, that they there were a few that did respond. By the time of Acts 5, there was probably 8,000 men out of a city. It was a major place there, Jerusalem, probably 100,000 there. So it was not the majority, and it was not the leadership of Israel that did believe. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. So the Jews and the Greeks could come. They were not necessarily both sent to by then, but they could both respond having heard it. Notice that he said between the Jew and the Greek. It's not between the Jew and the Gentile, or not between the Jew and all the Gentiles. Paul is identifying the commonwealth of Israel there. Ephesians 12:2, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. So there's no difference in that aspect between the Jew and the Jew-blessing Gentiles called Greeks, who were those of the Greek culture seeking the wisdom and knowledge of God and finding it in the Jewish synagogues. They blessed Israel and came to the synagogues to show their faith in the God of Abraham. Both the Jews and the Greeks started under Israel's covenants of promise before they believed Paul's gospel. So there was no difference in them in that aspect. Going on, Romans 10:12. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we saw before that came from Joel's prophecy, that whosoever is in the tribulation with all those troubles coming at them and they call on the name of the Lord, they'll be saved, or the word is delivered in the Old Testament. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not heard, not believed, excuse me? How shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Good question. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? That's where the apostleship comes in, the sent out one. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Who must these verses be referring to, since they're quoted from Israel's prophecies? They're not mystery. They were not kept secret. They were in the prophecies. Look at Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them that bring good tidings and publish peace. Peace that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Well, there is the king, thy king reigneth. You know, that's talking about Christ bringing, Christ the king and the prince of peace bringing salvation from a kingdom that would save Israel from heaven, a kingdom out of heaven to earth, to rule the world from the promised land, the land that was promised that they would live in. So, who is it that administers the gospel of peace and the kingdom of peace? For unto us, Israel, unto us a child is born, unto us, again that's Israel, listening to Israel's prophet Isaiah, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name, talking about being necessary for them to identify Jesus by his name, and the identification of him, the gospel of God, who he is. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government, there's the government again, and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, there's the word itself, the kingdom, to order it, and to establish it with just judgment, and with justice, from henceforth even forever, a lasting kingdom. Daniel 2:44 says, once it's set up, it'll never end. So the zeal of the Lord will perform this. The Lord of hosts will perform this. So we're close to closing here. We can see that Romans chapter 10 tells us how Israel missed out on their kingdom and their Messiah, the Prince of Peace. Romans 10 verses 9 and 10 tell exactly what it was that Israel failed at. Faith. Faith to confess that Jesus is the Lord, the Son of God. Faith to believe that God hath raised him from the dead. They lacked faith to call on the name, the identity of the Lord, being Jesus, the Christ, their Messiah. They didn't believe he was. Paul does here what his manner is. He first declares the gospel of God about who Jesus is, and only then does he tell the gospel of Christ about what Jesus did, Jesus Christ did to save us. Israel had been told in prophecy after prophecy who their Messiah would be and when he would come, where he would be born, how he would die, and he would not be left in hell. Israel had been given multiple pointers to Jesus, born of Mary, that he was their Messiah. That same information which Paul later calls the gospel of God. What Israel missed was the word faith. Israel simply refused to believe. In Romans 9, 10, and 11, Paul tells all that be in Rome what it was that God had told Israel that they had failed to believe. It was the information that Paul calls the gospel of God in Romans 1, 1 through 4. Excuse me, let me just get a sip here. What Israel had needed to believe and to confess was that Jesus of Nazareth was their resurrected Messiah. They were not offered the gospel of Christ until after Israel had fallen. After the stoning of Stephen and the conversion of Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, after that, the remnant was being called out, especially from at least Acts 13 through Acts 19, being called the gospel of Christ, called by the gospel of Christ. And that was a call to salvation in the body of Christ. The body of Christ, you can tell from the words, it's different from in Christ. It's beyond the statement that Israel was in Christ the vine, but people after Israel fell and that are believing Paul's gospel that was revealed to him for us are in the body of Christ. And you get to chapter 11, verse 5. It refers to those who came and after the fall of Israel, they believed Paul's gospel, referred to as a remnant according to the election or choice of grace. In closing, let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews is to the Hebrews, but this verse states a universal truth as echoed in Paul's writings. Not the exact verse, but the thought that without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Israel failed to have faith that God would do what he said he would do. All the way from Kadesh Barnea to Calvary, the unforgivable killing of the Holy Ghost-filled Stephen, all these things, to their casting away at the end of Acts, as Paul recited Israel's curse, Isaiah's curse, there at the last few verses, last five or six verses of Acts. Blinding and deafening them and ending the Acts of the Apostles. No more Acts to be added. No more chapters in the book, in other words. Nothing else to write. But rejoice, God will have his way. At the end of Acts, Israel became not my people, to God, God will make it happen again. No, God will say, you shall be my people, and I will be your God. And who does he say it to? He says it to those who became not his people. That's Israel. Not to us. There's no basis for saying it was to us. We have our program. We have the blessed hope ahead of us. So just in closing, I'm going to read these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 verses. Ezekiel 36, about Israel. They were, and still are, not God's people. For I will take you from among the heathen. Let me tell you where it is. Ezekiel 36, verses 24 to 28. I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you to your into your own land. Remember, they were scattered. He's bringing them back. Verse 25, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments, and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. Okay, I'm done for tonight. I hope these thoughts have been helpful, edifying.